Inns Bank, Casa Nashville, Braza Flooring, real estate agent Richard Courtney of Frederick and Clark Realty. And now, here's your host, Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you as we join you each and every Saturday with our countdown to kickoff tailgate show from 10 a.m. to noon. Ray Dosky making sure everything runs great. A little bit later, by the way, around 11:37 or so, Will West, talk show host over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML to preview Tennessee and Auburn. But our good buddy Doug Segrist, every Saturday, 11:05. There's just certain things in life you can and cannot count on. You can count on Doug Segrist joining us each Saturday. So we appreciate you, buddy. Talk show host in Birmingham, ABC 3340 on The Zone. And then don't forget as well, contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Hope you're having a good week, and happy Saturday to you, Doug.
Happy Saturday. What a gorgeous football day, at least down here. It's just incredible.
Yeah, too bad that how many teams now? We've lost 18. So 2 weeks ago, it was 10 games either being canceled or postponed due to COVID. Last week, we moved that magic number to 15 games. This week, with Florida State and Clemson being called off and postponed, 7 postponements, 11 cancellations. We are up to 18 games this weekend.
Yeah, and listen, that just reflects what's going on across the country. I mean, numbers are going up everywhere. So it just makes more sense that with these protocols, it's going to be tougher to get the games played. So really not a big surprise.
And let me put that in proper perspective as far as where the numbers are today across the country, COVID-19, as far as the new cases each and every day. Mid-June, we had less than 20,000 a day. Mid-June, less than 20,000. We are 13 times that number per day now than where we were in mid-June.
Well, and you look at some hotspots like North Dakota. It has just slammed them. And their positive numbers are like triple what anywhere else in the country is. So it's tough sledding. And you know, a lot of people just think college football's lost its mind, but they're doing what they need to do, not only protect players, but to protect the community.
One thing, if you want to look at it from a Power 5 conference standpoint, Pac-12 continues to struggle. How about at least the SEC? You know, last week we lost, what, 4 games. At least this week, we've only lost one. Fifth-ranked Texas A&M was supposed to play host to Ole Miss. So that game is postponed, but that's it. We still have these nice other games, 6 other games going on. The interesting thing about today, I think the theme in the SEC would be the fact that the magic number is 3. And we go, what is that number? 3 weeks since Alabama's played, 3 weeks since Auburn has played, 3 weeks since Missouri has played, 3 weeks since LSU has played.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long sabbatical, and you wonder how these teams will come out and play. I don't think it'll impact, for example, Alabama and Auburn, but you don't know about LSU because, you know, their season was already going south. They've been hit with a just pretty damning expose of the culture and the reaction to very serious charges.
Sounds like Baylor and Michigan State all over.
Yeah, yeah. So, you don't know how they'll respond. You know, one thing you could say about Coach O in the past is when things got bad, he seemed to right the ship. I'm not sure this ship can be righted today.
2 games inside the SEC just kicked off. LSU at Arkansas, Vanderbilt hosting Florida. How about this? Vanderbilt driving there in Florida's territory, facing a second down at Florida's 36. So the opening drive of this game, 13-17 to go in the first. And Vanderbilt's moving the ball. But then again, though, we are talking about the Florida Gators defense.
And how weird is it to see an SEC game on ABC in the ABC window because of the Florida State Clemson cancellation? Listen, Vanderbilt, they've got a chance to score points today. I mean, Florida does not play defense like we're used to seeing. They're vulnerable if they can just sustain drives. Again, we say this every week, but we have also seen Vanderbilt grow offensively. If they can do that and limit Kyle Trask opportunities, it can be more respectable.
The interesting thing about Vanderbilt, if you recall, you know, last year they got off to good starts and then would get blown out.
Right.
This year they get off to awful starts and then they make nice comebacks. And it's a team that certainly is showing no signs of giving up. They're still fighting as far as for Coach Mason and that staff. And, you know, although there's still losses, and in fact, you know, that's the part where everybody thinks about first at 0-6. But, you know, they only lose by a touchdown at Mississippi State 2 weeks ago. Last week, they only lose by 3 to a very emotionally charged Kentucky squad.
And it's a very young team, and nobody has gone through more this season in terms of opt-outs, in terms of COVID, than Vanderbilt. Just, you know, depth is a major concern, and they have played through it. And you could argue they've gotten better as the season goes along, you know, and this is a 10-game SEC slate. I mean, this isn't easy for anybody, but when you're up against that, it just makes it doubly hard. So, again, I know there's pressure on Derek Mason, but there are signs of life for this program that are really very promising.
Yeah, the interesting thing, though, Florida not really getting a lot of love nationally. You know, they do have just the one loss, but from a national standpoint, they're like an afterthought almost.
They are, but Kyle Trask is getting a lot of love. So,
absolutely.
And kind of the narrative is that he's having to carry this team. Well, this is a pretty good offense. They've got playmakers, got the best tight end in the country. They've got pretty good running backs, but it's kind of based on how he does. And right now, it's just lights out. They're very good. I think this team can threaten Alabama in the SEC championship game, assuming these same two teams meet. You know, and with everything going on, you just don't know what team you're going to see from week to week, but they've been the most consistent.
By the way, I'm going to say it because we may not be able to say this the rest of the afternoon. Vanderbilt has just scored a touchdown to take the lead in this game. Early on, once again, 10:50 to go in the first. But Vanderbilt on top 7-0, and Ken Seals, you know, finding some chemistry there with Chris Pierce Jr. We saw it last week, a 16-yard scoring toss. The extra point, once again, is good. So it's Vanderbilt on top 7-0. And by the way, if you go back to 1989, Florida, there's a lot of streaks like this in the SEC today, and we've talked about them in previous visits too. But Florida, 28-1 against Vanderbilt going back to 1989. But it's Vanderbilt striking first on the opening drive.
Yeah, and what started to happen around 1989? That's about the time, maybe a year before Steve Spurrier came back. So, I mean, Florida's been, you know, as dominant as anybody in the country in that time period. So that's, you know, that's not the greatest parameter for just any problem. Look how Georgia's struggled.
I like this the other game this right now. Still no score in the LSU matchup against Arkansas. Game being played in Fayetteville, 11-12 to go in the first quarter. You know, there's like this game today as far as LSU-Arkansas. Since 1996, so when Arkansas joined the conference back in 92, some of these programs got the broad idea, hey, let's come up with some kind of trophy. Let's come up with a name for the game. Well, they have the Battle of the Golden Boot, and it's a boot-shaped trophy, and they use Arkansas and LSU, the states, and design into that boot. So they're playing for that. So they have something to play for. I didn't really know what to expect with this game because the last time we saw LSU, they were blown out at Auburn on Halloween and then went out and got the program sick. So I called Ron Higgins, our good buddy down in LSU with Tiger Rag Magazine. He says, oh, LSU will be ready to play. I talked to my good buddy David Basil, talk show host in Little Rock. Arkansas will be ready to play. In fact, he even predicted a touchdown victory for Arkansas. So basically, depending on which fan base you're talking about, they expected their teams ready to go this morning in Arkansas.
Well, we know Arkansas is going to be ready to play because this is one of the best turnarounds we've seen. Just Sam Pittman has totally changed the mindset of this program. They play hard. They play with passion. You know, LSU's the question mark, and I'm not sure I buy what Doc says. That's what everybody calls Ron Higgins, Doc. This is a program in disarray. I mean, you saw that against Auburn. The passion wasn't there. You've seen key players opt out. And now on top of that, you've got all this stuff going on that the football players have. Well, the current football players have nothing to do with. Maybe they rally around that, but it's just, it's been a bad look for LSU. And, you know, usually when things go bad, they snowball.
A couple of stats to watch out for as far as LSU. Ed Orgeron, 12-0 after a loss, including 2-0 this year after a loss. In addition, they have not lost. LSU has not lost back-to-back games. You have to go back to 2015, and that was a stretch where they lost three straight. And then finally, the magic number for LSU, a 33-game winning streak when they got the lead at halftime.
I've got a chance to keep this close for a half and then see what happens. But, you know, I think one of the keys, Felipe Franks has really been steady. And this is an Arkansas attack that can hit you both ways. They're not going to put up gaudy numbers, but they're going to move the chains. And, again, they're going to limit your opportunities. This is just good, a good, solid football team that really came out of nowhere.
By the way, Ohio State has taken the lead against Indiana, 12:32 to go in the first quarter, a battle of two teams ranked in the top 10. So it's Ohio State up 7-0, a touchdown pass from Justin Fields to Garrett Wilson, the difference there. And I predicted two upsets as far as top 25, the special Cinderella stories. I predicted this afternoon Cincinnati would go down at Central Florida.
Ooh.
Cincinnati enters this game ranked 7th. I also predicted Appalachian State would knock off 15th-ranked Coastal Carolina. That game being played at Coastal Carolina. By the way, Coastal Carolina has never beaten Appalachian State. Entering this game, they're 0-6. And, oh, by the way, Appalachian State has the early 7-0 lead with 11:40 to go in the first quarter.
Okay, but did you predict Indiana to pull the upset?
I took the points. I did not predict the upset, okay. But I did take the 21 points. To me, that was just a little too much. Not convinced that Ohio State will blow them out by that kind of number.
I'm not either. And listen, I think Ohio State has the best roster top to bottom in the country, but they haven't played a team with a pulse. You know, maybe Penn State was fairly good at the time, but I think their opponents are combined 3-10 so far, the games they've played. So they just really haven't been tested, and this is a chance for a real test that goes down to the wire.
Alabama, Kentucky. This is the first game that Alabama will take the field this year as the number one ranked team. They got that nod 2 weeks ago, but once again, they have not played for 3 weeks coming into this contest with Kentucky. You know, this series was tight through two games. It dates back to 1917 when it was 1-1. Since then, Alabama 36-1-1. But with that said, too, they've only met just 14 times since 1947.
Yeah, that's really incredible. I got a stat for you, too.
Sure.
Okay, Alabama has started the season 6-0 numerous times. The last time they started the season 6-0 and didn't improve to 7-0 was 1916.
Wow. That's a great stat right there. That's not even
any
game notes.
When you look at a record for 10 win seasons, that's incredible.
Yeah, that is a very impressive one. How about this, too? Alabama, we mentioned, taking the field as the number one team. They've been, you know, you can just throw all these magical numbers out since 2008. But 93 times during all these polls, there's 205 of them to be exact since the start of 2008. Alabama has been the number one team 44.9% of the time during that stretch. Clemson, by the way, 23 times the number one team compared. That's, and they're second on that list. Behind that's 70 less weeks behind Alabama in that same kind of time period.
No, that's incredible. And again, the number one ranking 13 consecutive seasons. It's untouchable. It's just been an incredible run. You know, the question today is, does Alabama show rust? And what we've seen from other programs this year is the rust really isn't there. If anything, teams are coming out more, looking more fresh. The problem here is on paper, this looks to be like a huge mismatch, and not because of the Kentucky we've seen. It's the Kentucky they're bringing to Tuscaloosa. You know, 16 players out, five starters. I actually thought this would be the biggest challenge to Alabama's streak of, what, 19 games with 35 straight points because of the Kentucky defense. But I just don't see how a depleted roster is really going to be much of a factor today.
And by the way, that stat you just threw out there, the longest in college football history as well, 19 straight games of scoring 35 or more. Something else to watch out for, and I brought this up in the 10 o'clock hour, Devontae Smith having an outstanding year. He's going to be All-SEC, All-American, and in the end, he will be down the road a college football Hall of Famer. But right now, today, before the game kicks off, he's outside the top 10. Forget about the Alabama career receiving yard list. He's just outside the top 10 as far as the SEC list. By the end of the day, once again, not in the top 10 right now, he could be in third place by the end of the day in the SEC career list if he has 226 yards. So what I mean by that, he needs just 56 to get into the top 10. He has a chance to move up several spots on that list in just today's game alone.
This is a phenomenal career. Really should be playing the NFL right now, but he wanted to improve his draft stock. And everything he's done this year has done just that. No longer in the shadows of Judy and Ruggs. And, I think he's going to be remembered as one of the all-time greats, not only at Alabama, but throughout the SEC.
Florida Gators have matched Vanderbilt now. And, oh, by the way, if you have to predict Florida is going to score a first touchdown, I think it's safe to go Kyle Trask touchdown pass because that just happened as Kadarius Toney, a 27-yard reception from Kyle Trask. The extra point is good. So with 7:47 to go in the first quarter over at Vanderbilt, all tied up 7 apiece. The rest of the games in the SEC tonight, starting with a big game down in Auburn, as 23rd-ranked Auburn plays host to Tennessee. Once again, 3 weeks since we've seen the Tigers play, and certainly wasn't expecting that blowout victory over LSU that we got. The question will be, can the Auburn Tigers match that? And then you got a Tennessee program, 2-4, and I bring up the case with Tennessee, and Doug, I'd like to get your thoughts here. So, a month and a half ago, we weren't talking about, Jeremy Pruitt and that staff where their jobs were on the line. That's not the case anymore. And with the fact that Will Muschamp was canned last week after South Carolina not showing up in that fourth quarter against Ole Miss, so now all bets are off. And so there's a strong possibility that we could be talking about, look, whoever wins the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game is going to get a win. Otherwise, combine 1-7, that's what I expect to happen with Tennessee and Vanderbilt. If Tennessee loses to Vanderbilt next week, I don't necessarily think that Jeremy Pruitt is back. So today, very important. The last time these two teams met, Tennessee upset a ranked Auburn squad. I just don't see that being the case tonight.
I don't either. Again, that layoff, I think that probably impacts Auburn more than anybody just because they were coming off their best win. And up until the LSU game, they had been very average, and we started to see signs of life. Now, the running game has emerged. The passing game is a little more complex now. They're getting support up front. But quietly, this defense has gotten really, really good, more to Auburn standards that we're used to seeing. So this is a team that was playing good football when everything kind of shut down for them. I don't think they're going to have any problem picking back up, and this is a Tennessee team that's in a mess. And if you told me before the year that Jeremy Pruitt would be coaching for his job, I wouldn't have believed it. But, losing to Vanderbilt this season, even with everything going on, that would be, 6 straight losses. That would be intolerable. Now, the question is, do you have the replacement in mind? And you better know that. I think that's part of the reason South Carolina moved so quickly was to start lining people up and with an idea of who they're going to get. You better have a notion, and really more than a notion, you better know for sure that you can improve on the hire because you're going to spend a boatload of money in a very bad economic time.
Well, we saw what Missouri, their decision, and what, Coach Drinkwith coming from Appalachian State, what he has done for that program. We've seen it with Sam Pittman with Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a little bit of hope thinking about, well, if you make a move, we can certainly change the culture overnight, but you're right. You just never know, especially when you add into the mix boosters behind the scenes, their influence. And so a lot of that goes into that mix as far as the decision making.
If you know for sure you can get Luke Fickell, then, you know, you make the move. But if you don't really know who you're going to get, I think coaches are going to be hesitant to move this year with all the uncertainty.
How about this one more stat before we move on to the other two games? Tennessee, you know, they've got a four-game losing streak, right? It started with that loss to Georgia, outscored 28-0 in the second half. And the loss to Kentucky, outscored 17-0 in the second half. The loss to Alabama, outscored 20-7 in the second half. And then finally, the loss to Arkansas, outscored 24-0. So during this four-game losing streak for Tennessee, they've been outscored 89-7 in the second half.
Yeah, it's just an incredibly bad run. But I also think the last time Tennessee lost five straight was to start the 1988 season. And I remember players being upbeat going into the Alabama game, which was, I think, the fifth straight loss. And they were confident they were about to turn things around. They played Alabama fairly competitively, and then they reeled off six straight wins, and I think they won three straight SEC titles or shared. So it's been done before. I just don't see any signs that this is about to end. And I don't think it's going to end today for certain.
6:30 tonight in Athens, 13th-ranked Georgia, 25-point favorite at home against Mississippi State. I'm not buying that part of it. I don't know if they.
No.
I can't even give you a list of teams I think that they could outscore 25 points. One thing is certain, though, when you look at this series, Georgia has controlled it, winning 11 of the last 12, including 10 straight contests, by the way, too, in Athens. I just think it's asking a little bit too much for Mississippi State to go in and win this game. In fact, they have not won in Athens since 1956.
Now, again, another program that's in disarray. You know, the one thing you can count on is Mississippi State will play tough defense, but it doesn't mean they can stop, you know, somebody when they're getting no help on the offensive side of the ball. You know, the great JT Daniels experiment starts today. Is he the answer? The guy we saw at USC is the answer, but is he the same after basically losing a year and a half to the injury? We really don't know. I think if he were 100% and playing at that level, we would have already seen him. So I'm a little skeptical. I think this move had to be made, if nothing more than just for an experiment. But I'm not sure this is really the key to what ails Georgia offensively.
By the way, I predicted LSU to win today on the road against Arkansas. They've got the early lead, 7:37 to go in the first quarter, a Cade York 49-yard field goal. Finally, you know, we talked about the Golden Boot, another one of these trophies to play for. You know, Columbia, Missouri, Columbia, South Carolina. What would be more natural than the Mayor's Cup? And that's what we get tonight in Columbia, South Carolina. They've met 10 times, 5-5, dead even. And South Carolina, by the way, 3-1 in the games played in Columbia. So I like this. We'll see how that all plays out. By the way, in the last eight meetings, South Carolina has also a 5-3 edge. What kind of South Carolina team are we going to get tonight without Will Muschamp, who was fired on Sunday?
I think you see one that plays with a purpose. But, you know, nobody likes to see their coach fired, and he was a pretty popular coach. I think they rally around him. I think the problem is that Missouri's been more consistent and has just been a better program for most of 2020. So I expect Missouri to win this, but I think South Carolina will give them fits.
Well, and the problem, though, with Missouri is, like, how'd they look last week? Well, they didn't play. How'd they look 2 weeks ago? Well, they didn't play. They do have a very special running back in Larry Roundtree, who, by the way, needs just 19 rushing yards. He'll be the all-time leading rusher by a non-quarterback in Missouri history. I bring up non-quarterback because they had Brad Smith, a quarterback who did it with his arm and his legs. But that's a game certainly to pay attention to and watch out for. Hey, do me a favor, as always, before we let you go, remind our listeners the best way to keep up with your coverage.
We're on The Zone every Sunday night at 11 o'clock in Birmingham on ABC 3340. And then I'll be writing two columns a day for the Montgomery Advertiser, covering both Alabama and Auburn from a distance. And That's the MontgomeryAdvertiser.com.
Hey, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Ballpark. Stay safe.
I will. You too as well. Thank you. That's Doug Seegers joining us as he does each and every Saturday with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. You can also catch him during the week with my afternoon show starting at 4 Monday through Fridays. Coming up, we'll have a scoreboard update. Also still coming up, Will West joins us from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML to preview Tennessee and Auburn. As always, we know you have choices, and we certainly appreciate you joining us each and every Saturday with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Plus, don't forget, coming up at noon, pregame coverage. We kick off just after 1 as Western Kentucky hosts Florida International, FIU. That's coming your way. Noon for the pregame, kickoff just after 1. But a college football scoreboard update on the other side as our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800. When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide 2 enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
How do you give hope to a child in the foster care system? It starts with your heart. That tug you feel in yours when you hear that children are waiting for a stable, loving voice to speak up for their best interests. And then it becomes your time. What started out as a feeling that maybe you could make a difference becomes the difference. Change a child's story. There is a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
Are you struggling to feed your family? If your family gets free or reduced price school meals, you may qualify to receive money for groceries through the PEBT program. Visit TennesseeMeals.com or call 866-311-4287. The deadline is soon. That's TennesseeMeals.com, 866-311-4287. Brought to you by this station, the Tennessee Justice Center, and the Tennessee Department of Human Services.
You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks.
Welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. This hour being brought to you by InsBank, you know, proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, friends, and people that they consider friends, and they want to continue that relationship. Been doing it for over 20 years. 2 locations in the area to serve you, Green Hills or Brentwood. You can get more information by going online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Time for a college football scoreboard update brought to you by Braza Flooring for your hardwood flooring needs. Check them out by going online at BrazaFlooring.com. That's Braza Flooring, where they strive to please and guarantee complete satisfaction. Well, This could be not only the biggest upset of the day, it could also be certainly the biggest upset of the year. We'll see how this all plays out. You know, if you want to pull an upset, you got to turn a four-quarter game into a three to a second half game, and then down to the final 15 minutes. Vanderbilt not only scoring first to take the 7-0 lead, they've now answered Florida's touchdown with a 25-yard field goal by Pearson Cook. Vanderbilt leading Florida, the sixth-ranked team in the country, 10-7, 2:45 to go in the first. I know, plenty of time to be played, but just, you know, baby steps, baby steps. We'll see where we get there. Other scores, a game involving two teams ranked in the top 10, third-ranked Ohio State, leading Indiana 7-0, 7:41 to go in the first quarter there. Also involving teams ranked in the top 25, it's Appalachian State holding on to a 7-6 lead over 15th-ranked Coastal Carolina, a team that's 7-0, but they have never knocked off Appalachian State, 0-6 going into today's game, 6:22 to go in the first. In Coastal Carolina, when they answered Appalachian State's touchdown, unfortunately for them, they missed the extra point. That could be big as this game continues. The rest of the action outside the top 25, it is Memphis, early 7-0 lead over Stephen F. Austin, 6:22 to go over in the Liberty Bowl. In Big Ten play, it is Illinois on the road against Nebraska. Illinois with the 14-7 lead, 5:33 to go in the first stanza. In Sun Belt action, Texas State at home leading Arkansas State 10-3. The Temple East Carolina game has been delayed. These two teams off to very bad starts. Temple 1-5, East Carolina 1-6. It's Army at home trailing already 14-0. A little bit of surprise there. Georgia Southern 6-2, Army 6-2, 6:45 to go in the first quarter. But it's Georgia Southern with the early two-touchdown lead, 14-0. One other game inside the SEC on right now, it's Arkansas leading LSU. They just scored a touchdown pass from Felipe Franks, hooking up with Traylon Burks. So Arkansas with the extra point on top of LSU, 7-3, 3:40 to go in the first. Don't forget, coming your way at noon, it's the pregame coverage with kickoff just after 1 right here on National Sports Radio as Western Kentucky, 3-6 on the year, 2-3 in Conference USA play. They are hosting a winless Florida International team. They're 0-4, 0-2 in Conference USA. Coming up, we'll preview Tennessee and Auburn with our good buddy Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. He's coming up. And once again, this college football scoreboard update brought to you by Braza Flooring. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
When it's time for new flooring in hardwood, the choices can be mind-numbing. Who do I call? Who can I trust? Locally, Braza Flooring is a leading expert in floor installation and services and makes the process easy. Braza Flooring offers a wide selection of flooring options and hardwood supplies and will work with you to help you decide which selection works best for you. Once you make a decision, they'll handle the rest. Nobody does hardwood floor installation better than Braza Flooring, and they do it fast without sacrificing quality. Braza Flooring provides the best service at an affordable price. Their passion for flooring and extensive experience means no job is too big, too small, or too difficult. Call 678-826-7798. That's 678-826-7798. Or go online at BrazaFlooring.com and follow them on Instagram. Braza Flooring, where they strive to please and guarantee complete satisfaction. When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser man,
maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with their puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders. A place where clients' best interests come first. A place where you have access to local decision makers. And a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it.
Now back to Johnny Ballpark Franks and the Countdown to Kickoff Show.
And welcome back to hour number two of our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. This hour being presented by InsBank. Two great locations to serve you. Check them out, Green Hills or the Brentwood office. Plus, for more information, you can go online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Right now, chance to preview a contest down on the plains at Auburn tonight. 6 o'clock kickoff as the Tennessee Vols take on the Auburn Tigers. Tennessee trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML joins us. Will, thank you as always. Hope you're having a great Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely, Johnny. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, so the one thing that sticks out for me with Tennessee, you can say, okay, four-game losing streak. So you can say what you want, make excuses. What sticks out for me during the first game of this streak, Vols get outscored 28-0 in the second half to Georgia, 17-0 in the second half to Kentucky, 20-7 to Alabama, and getting outscored 24-0 to Arkansas after having the 13-0 lead at halftime. Getting outscored in the second half by 89-7 in these four games, I don't know what Jeremy Pruitt is saying. I don't know what speeches are being said, but whatever you're saying, throw them out the window.
Yeah, no, it's clearly not working, and Tennessee doesn't have adjustments that they can make, I don't think, or they feel like they don't have adjustments. I do think, in talking to some former players, some things that people keep pointing out to me is teams think, walk into games thinking Tennessee's fixed some of their issues. They realize in the second half, oh, no, they haven't. The linebackers still struggle to tackle. They can't cover the slant, so let's just go back to that. And we'll challenge the linebackers head up, even if Tennessee does show 6-7 in the box, and it is linebacker versus running back. We'll take our chances with our running back. Or, you know, yes, it doesn't matter if there is another corner. They've made some adjustments, or they've made some personnel adjustments. The next guy up can't cover the slant either. So that's a lot of the problem with Tennessee right now, is there are no second-half adjustments. And also, offensively, not scoring. Look, Tennessee right now is in this weird spot where they're not running Jim Chaney's offense. They're not Chip Long's on the staff that was at Notre Dame. They're not running his offense. They're not running Will Friend, the offense that he ran with Mike Bobo. I don't know what this is, but I would say I think there's a little bit of a Will Muschamp issue with Jeremy Pruitt right now, and that he wants to tell his offense what it's going to do. And much like Will Muschamp, much like Ogeron before he had Joe Brady, it may end up being his undoing, that he wants to control what's happening on the offensive side of the football.
And the worst part about it, when you're having a season like this, when you're supposed to go good to great, and now you're just trying to show improvement, because, you know, 5 weeks ago, we wouldn't be discussing Jeremy Pruitt's job is on the line. His job is literally on the line. And if he goes 0-for, I mean, and by the way, that's very possible. I mean, here's Vanderbilt with the lead over Florida early in the second quarter here in Nashville. If Jeremy Pruitt goes 0-for, I'm going to say it right now. I don't think he's back for 2021. I don't.
I do think this. I think that what installed Philip Fulmer as athletics director and Jeremy Pruitt eventually as coach was like a Game of Thrones-like coup that happened that I think there are some boosters who don't want to have to own that they screwed this up. And so I think that there are a lot of people, most of the fan base, I think that Pruitt and Fulmer are tied at the hip. I don't think that should be the case, but because you had Mike Leach, you had Jeff Brohm, you had a number of other guys, and you decided not to go with them because you didn't want to allow the former AD to make the hire. I do think that the boosters will allow Fulmer to make that call, and I think Fulmer wouldn't want to own the mistake either of hiring Jeremy Pruitt. Especially the COVID year, and with them being $40 million in the red, I don't think they want to eat another $19 million in staff changes. Now, the problem is this. Jeremy Pruitt's going to want to replace Jim Chaney, and that's $1.8 million of a staff change that you're going to have to eat, and some other guys. And when Jeremy Pruitt has gotten guys fired and run guys off and then has gone to try to make the hire himself, it's not gone well. So that's the question. You're going to eat something this year. So do you eat the whole thing and just start over and hit the reset button in a COVID year, or do you blow out a good offensive coordinator that we all know isn't getting to run his own offense and allow Jeremy Pruitt to hire someone else who he's not going to let run his own offense? How do you do that? But right now, unless something quantifiable changes with the way Jeremy Pruitt is coaching this team, I just don't know that Jeremy Pruitt's going to make it at Tennessee.
Well, here's the problem, though. I mean, we are going to have fans in the stands in 2021. Do you want to approach it with a optimistic and a very fired-up fan base, or do you want to start it with a fan base that's already down before a season kicks off?
Well, and then here's the thing, too. It's, don't try to sell this fan base 8-4 next year. It's going to get the job done if you end up, especially if you go 0-4, or even if you beat Vanderbilt and lose the rest of these games. You're not selling 8-4 in year 4 is good enough at Tennessee. You're not going to do that. So, one, I think you'll struggle to sell tickets. Two, if you do sell tickets, how quickly will the fan base tap out on you if you show average to only slightly above average football? So, at this point, we're in year 3. It's a COVID year, and it's a weird year, and I get that. But by the time we get to next year, if Jeremy Pruitt is still there, at year 4, you have to be good or you're not the guy. And it's put up or shut up time. And frankly, year 3 should be put up or shut up time. Normally, I do think there's a lot of grace, it seems like, with the fan base compared to Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, some other guys that have been there. There's more grace this year because of COVID. But I do think that as these losses pile one on top of each other, especially if you go out there and Garantano's not getting it done again, or you try to play one of the young guys and they're not ready, people start asking. Right now the big questions are, well, why aren't any of these young guys ready? Because Garantano still isn't the guy.
I've got the answer for that.
What's that?
The answer is simply they're fighting for their jobs, and so they want to go with the individual they feel like is best out there at all the positions that can get a win today, which then hurts them as far as moving forward because – The logical thing is Harrison Bailey out there, at least he's getting valuable playing time. I mean, look at the job Ken Sills has done, the true freshman quarterback for Vanderbilt this year, week in and week out improving. And I think that is a huge problem moving forward, hurting this team in 21 and beyond.
No, I agree. I would ask the question, though, the fan base is going to look at the quarterback as most people follow the ball, and that's what the television camera gives you. The question I would have at Tennessee is, why do you have two guys expected to be starters on the offensive line in the NFL and two other five-star guys in a sixth-year senior center and two other offensive linemen that would start at most SEC schools and your offensive line stinks? Your defensive line, why has it regressed this year when you ran Tracy Walker off?
Right.
Now, is it South Carolina? You ran off a coach at linebacking core that did a great job at Florida, and now he's with the New York Giants doing a solid job there to bring in a guy who's a better recruiter. And your secondary, which is supposed to be the thing Jeremy Pruitt hangs his hat on, they're frankly bad. And so the defensive side of the football has regressed. And they've talked about, well, because of COVID, our quarterbacks, our wide receivers, our offensive linemen, they missed so much time. They didn't get a lot of practices in. And that's why they're kind of falling behind a little bit. That doesn't explain why the defense is just bad. And this defense is just bad right now. And that is, quite frankly, look, the whole thing's on Jeremy Pruitt, but that's especially on Jeremy Pruitt because that's his side of the ball.
And the other thing about that, those kind of excuses, I go back to when Butch Jones was head coach, making excuses before games were even kicked off, already setting the tone for a loss so he has an excuse for it before it happens. Every team in the country, from the Pac-12 to the SEC, are going through the same things that Jeremy Pruitt and that staff as far as excuses that they're trying to make.
No, yeah, but you're right. And some, look, some schools have handled it well, some haven't. Franklin hasn't handled it well at Penn State as far as everything that's happened with COVID. I think that P.J. Fleck in Minnesota right now aren't nearly as good as they thought they were going to be. And I think
is he the biggest phony, by the way, in college football as far as head coaches are concerned?
P.J. Fleck, I will just say based on people I know who have been on his coaching staff, I mean, I think people think, wow, what a great guy. I think he's a really good coach. I don't think he's the greatest guy, and I think that his act wears thin on people quickly. Yep. Because you can only say so much in front of a camera and act a different way behind the scenes for so long before people figure you out, right? So I do think that that's part of it. But here's the thing. Other teams are dealing with it. Dan Mullen's dealing with it, and you're seeing him. They're thriving right now. And, yes, it's a 10-game SEC schedule. You flat-out have better football players than Kentucky. You flat-out have better football players than Arkansas. You're losing to teams with less talent and less experience than you. There's no excuse for that whatsoever. I don't care how many times guys had to sit out because of quarantine issues or whatever.
Hey, do me a favor before we let you go. I'll remind the listeners the best way to keep up with all your coverage, Tennessee Vols, SEC, and more.
At Will West, WNML on Twitter and 991thesportsanimal.com.
Hey, listen, have a great rest of the weekend. If I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well.
Hey, thanks a lot, Johnny. I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you. Thank you. That's Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. Coming up, we'll take a look again. One more final football scoreboard update brought to you by Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. And then we'll turn you into the broadcast for Western Kentucky as they host Florida International today. Noon for the pregame, kickoff just after 1. All the action right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When it's time for new flooring in hardwood, the choices can be mind-numbing. Who do I call? Who can I trust? Locally, Brazza Flooring is a leading expert in floor installation and services and makes the process easy. Brazza Flooring offers a wide selection of flooring options and hardwood supplies and will work with you to help you decide which selection works best for you. Once you make a decision, they'll handle the rest. Nobody does hardwood floor installation better than Brazza Flooring, and they do it fast without sacrificing quality. Brazza Flooring provides the best service at an affordable price. Their passion for flooring and extensive experience means no job is too big, too small, or too difficult. Call 678-826-7799. 6798. That's 678-826-7798. Or go online at BrazzaFlooring.com and follow them on Instagram. Brazza Flooring, where they strive to please and guarantee complete satisfaction. It's the Countdown to Kickoff Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. This hour being brought to you in part by Inns Bank. Two wonderful locations to serve you, Green Hills or the Brentwood office. Plus, for more information, you can go online at InnsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know Inns Bank, where genuine matters. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. It's time for a college football scoreboard update brought to you by Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Let's start with the SEC. LSU has retaken the lead over Arkansas. Game being played in Fayetteville. 13:47 to go before halftime. A touchdown pass from LSU's T.J. Finley, a freshman, by the way. You think about the young quarterbacks with LSU, but Finley getting the start again, third straight start. Touchdown pass to Racy McMath, a 30-yard score. The extra point was good, so now LSU on top of Arkansas, 10-7. Hey, the magic is still continuing off of West End. We're in the second quarter now, and Vanderbilt still holding on to the 10-7 lead. 11-12 to go before halftime, but solid job so far. Ken Sills, by the way, look at these numbers. 11 for 13, 157 yards, and one touchdown toss as Vanderbilt leads the Gators 10-7. Also, top 25 action. You have a one game involving both teams ranked in the top 10. It's third-ranked Ohio State on top of Indiana, 7-0, getting ready to start the second quarter there. At least Appalachian State wants to pull the upset, but Coastal Carolina has retaken the lead on a 51-yard field goal. 10:50 to go in the second quarter is 15th-ranked Coastal Carolina leading Appalachian State 9-7. Coastal Carolina looking for their first win ever against Appalachian State. They're 0-6 entering today's game. Over in Memphis in the Liberty Bowl, it's Memphis on top of Stephen F. Austin, 14-6, 14:02 to go before halftime. In the Big Ten, it's Illinois on top of Nebraska, 21-7, 13:48 remaining before halftime. Inside the Sun Belt, it's Texas State with the 17-10 lead over Arkansas State, 11:52 to go before halftime. The East Carolina Temple game getting ready to start, just started, in fact. This game had been delayed. It was slated to begin almost an hour ago, but it got delayed. But just underway, Temple in East Carolina. It's Army at home having problems with Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern jumped out to the 14-0 lead. Army scored a touchdown to cut into that lead, but it's Georgia Southern with yet another touchdown. And so it's Georgia Southern on top of Army, 21-7. Both these teams entering today's game having solid seasons to this point, posting 6-2 marks. 9:24, by the way, to go before halftime in that one. Don't forget, coming up right here on Nashville Sports Radio at 1 o'clock for the kickoff, but pregame coverage at noon, Western Kentucky, 3-6 on the season, 2-3 in Conference USA play. They're hosting a winless Florida International squad, FIU, 0-4 overall, 0-2 in the conference. And that game, once again, kickoff just after 1, but the pregame coverage beginning at noon. And as far as the SEC is concerned, you know, we'll keep the two games going on now, but the third game of the afternoon, 3 o'clock start time, is Alabama taking the field for the first time as the number one team. They've been, you know, number one for 2 weeks now, but remember, they have not seen action since October 31st, hosting Kentucky this afternoon, 3 o'clock for that one. And then the remainder of the SEC teams in action tonight, starting at 6 o'clock down on the plains, at Auburn, as 23rd-ranked Auburn plays host to the Tennessee Vols. The Vols trying to snap the four-game losing streak. And then at 6:30, both of these contests, 13th-ranked Georgia hosting Mississippi State. And then finally, the battle for the Mayor's Cup, as South Carolina playing their first game without Will Muschamp, who was fired on Sunday, interim coach Mike Bobo leading the South Carolina squad onto the field as they take on Missouri tonight. Missouri, once again, another team seeing their first action in 3 weeks. Big thanks to our visitors to the day, Ryan Fowler down in Tuscaloosa with Tide 100.9 FM, Patrick Murphy with Bucknuts247.com, Doug Segrist from Birmingham, co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, and then Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. This scoreboard update brought to you by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Five solid locations to serve you. You have Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. But now, don't forget, two enhanced experiences. Already had Hendersonville at Circus World, and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, providing two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, laser maze, along with a virtual reality roller coaster. And besides that, at the other locations and in these two enhanced experiences, you're always going to have a great time with the bowling, the games, the food, drink, and entertainment. And no matter what time of year, you can keep up with your favorite teams on the TVs located throughout as well. If you'd like more information, check them out, strikeandspare.com. Open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember what we always say, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. A couple of programming notes. Once again, Western Kentucky football on the way next as they take on FIU tomorrow, beginning at 2:30 for pregame coverage. Kickoff at just after 3, the New York Jets on the road to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. As always, we appreciate you joining us each and every Saturday. Plus, don't forget, you can check out my afternoon show beginning at 4 right here as well on Nashville Sports Radio. For Ray Dosky back in the studios, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Have a great football weekend. Happy early Thanksgiving to you and your family. And remember, do us a favor and make it count.